Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. We're joined here now by Charlie Morris, head of multi-asset for Newscape Capital Group. How are you today, Charlie?
Very well, thank you.
Plenty of things to talk about. Global breadth, that was one of the things you described. I've never heard of that before, so maybe you can talk about that.
Global breadth is the percentage of stocks that are rising and falling, in essence. I mean, you can measure it in a number of ways, but the common way is the percentage of stocks above the 200-day moving average in a market. Now, really, since Brexit, that's been rising in most countries. I think it's topping off in the Western world, less so in Europe, where it's still quite strong, but it's particularly strong right here, right now in Japan. And indeed, the index just had a breakout yesterday.
To the upside. This is even though I was quoting, we have our little questions to ask people, guests, over the programme, and one of the statistics were Japanese investors are heading out of the stock market in the biggest way since 1987.
Well, the price action disagrees, that's all I can say.
Right.
And, you know, we've got this sort of strange yield curve, haven't we, where it's held down at zero up to 10 years. And then at the 30-year end, you know, it's quite happy to rise, which is by design. So you've had some strength in some of the domestic stocks. And of course, because they've got aggressive QE and so on, the yen's now selling off again. So I think that may be a large part of it. So I guess the trade would be an index fund with a sterling hedge on it. And, you know, which brings us on to sterling.
Right, and sterling, total bargain or basket case? What are we looking
at? Total bargain. I mean, I think you've got to consider that the pound is undervalued, fair value somewhere around 150 on purchasing power and so on. You've got a yield curve in Britain that's selling off. That's partly because the economy is a little bit stronger than expected. It's partly because inflation expectations are rising. But it's also because the market doesn't really understand why we have QE in Britain. It's not required. And so at some point, the Bank of England are going to try and find a way to say, you know, this is over, or it's tapering, or it's or something. And I think that's going to be quite a stark reaction at that time. That would be supportive for the pound.
But isn't the pound, it's a political football, and really, unless we have visibility on Brexit, which does twist and turn every day, and we even have the possibility of the Scots finally leaving on the second attempt, a foreign investor would not understand what's going on here.
That's fine.
And that's why they're saying no, saying no to the pound.
Yeah, I mean, the pound, that was all true at 170 and at 150. But when you come into deep value territory, you know, things change, the behaviour changes. I mean, sort of the Mexican peso very recently. You know, it was very, very cheap. It's been very, very cheap since the summer. And there's a lot of anti-Mexican rhetoric. And even when Trump was doing well in the polls, it didn't sell off very much because it had already sold off an awful lot. And I think that's also true with the pound. So, yes, there's potentially a little bit of downside in an extreme political scenario, but it's temporary.
Right. And speaking of Trump, it looks like he's... Project Smear has worked against him, so there's no chance of him getting into the White House. So we have a situation where there's supposed to be an event risk, but there isn't. Or is there?
Well, the interesting point is that, and I heard a very good political analyst last night discussing this very concept, and the point is that America's ready to vote for Trumpism, but they're not ready to vote for Trump. So he's got the right idea in terms of populist agenda, which seems to be popping up everywhere. Yet he's failed to execute it for obvious reasons. You know, I think if he'd left...
The very thing that got him onto the podium is the very thing which will make sure that he won't actually get to the...
Well, the agenda will live. This is the point. So Hillary's politics will shift in his direction, subtly but surely. And so we're going to see more of this sort of fiscal stimulus and so on.
But so he's an activist investor, basically. He's become like an activist shareholder.
Maybe, that's a good way to describe it. But I think, you know, for the governments to change their agenda to fiscal spending and away from monetary policy, there's also this idea we need to see a bit of a crisis because the government can't, you know, they can't say we were wrong, sorry, we gave the central banks all these powers and they've gone too far and they're not working. And so actually what you need is a smack in asset prices to demonstrate there's a problem, so therefore you can turn the fiscal tap on this time rather than the monetary. I think that scenario is looking increasingly likely.
But the same people who were saying that the Euro project was finished in 2012 and said this year, you know, 2013 will be the end of it, 13, 14, 15, 16, are the same people who are saying that central banks are finished as well. And it's not happening. And it's not going to happen either because they've got a blank check.
Right, so in the Fleet Street letter, I've just written my Fleet Street letter and I address this very issue by looking at the Taylor Rule. And the Taylor Rule is a very simple guide of linking unemployment and interest rates. And sorry, unemployment inflation to give you an optimal interest rate. And in Greece, for example, a few years ago, it wanted minus 25 for Greece. And that's come up to minus 10, which is the most extreme example. If you take the average of the Eurozone, the interest rate is now right on average. Yeah, a bit like crossing a river, which is on average 3 feet deep and there's a hole in the middle. But of course, in Germany, it wants the interest rates to be more like 6% when they're close to zero. So you've actually had this divergence in the European problem temporarily. But because German interest rates should be 6 and they're zero, we're starting to see rising inflation expectations in Europe. The impossible, because this idea that the inflation is rising in Britain alone is not true. It's happening in America, it's happening in Europe, and it's even happening in Japan. So I think that the monetary policy has finally done what it was supposed to do, which is create inflation, and we will see it. And I think that
it just happened literally just at the last, just before midnight, basically, just when it was almost looked like it had failed after 8 years. It's
sure.
coming through. Is that the right thing to say?
Well, I think it is coming through, and The problem is we can't normalise, so we can't have higher yields and higher inflation expectations because the economy is not normal. There's a large pile of debt. They've got to continue to get real interest rates down, and they could go down a very long way, which will ultimately be very bullish for gold at some point, probably not this year, but maybe when this political change happens. And I think that's going to be pretty fascinating stuff, because ultimately this crisis is not over until debt GDP is down to normal levels.
It will never be. I mean, that's the whole problem. That was the whole problem with
the
idea of the zero rate interest rate policy, or the policy we embarked on in 2008. The flaw there was FLAW was that you've got all that. As soon as you need to raise rates, you'll bust the economy, because people won't be able to afford. Will no longer be able to afford the debt that they could afford under zero rates.
Well, if inflation's high enough, you can, you see. And so this is the point. If you raise rates in low inflation environment, then actually that's detrimental to the economy, and people don't feel the wealth effect. But the illusion of getting richer with a pay rise can go a long way. Because essentially, we need to see house prices fall as part of the normalisation process. We need to see the debt fall. We need to see everything back to normal levels. And that's a hell of a
political
change.
That'll kill your middle-income, your Marks and Spencers, private school type of family, getting 100K a year between them, and they'll be finished with it, rates going up to 5% or 4% on the mortgage or anything going up.
This is the message from history, whether you look after the Napoleonic Wars or after the First World War. All of these times when we've had massive piles of debt, there's been extreme measures in order to counter them. Even after, and then more recently we had the 1970s, which is a period of very high inflation and social turmoil. So I do think things will change. But, from the financial markets perspective, there needs to be some kind of aggressive movement which politicians can point to and say we need to have a new idea. And that new idea is populist and it's fiscal spend. So I do see it coming. But ultimately, debt GDPs will come down because inflation will exceed interest rates, even more so than today. So right now we're on -2 real interest rates into the long term. That comes right the way down to a scarily low number. I'm not quite sure what it will be, but a much, much lower number.
Charlie Morris, head of multi-asset for Newscape Capital Group. Thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.